Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast 146 of WDW Main Street. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Good, Doug. How you doing today?
Besides being a little cold, I'm fine. I know you're freezing, too, up there in Boston.
Yeah. The snow, at least, knock on wood, for the last 72 hours or so has subsided. So we're just dealing with some cold weather like you are. But we're working through the end of February here, and March hopefully brings some warmer temperatures and brings us a little closer to spring.
It can't get much worse, then. So let's warm up and talk a little Disney news, because we got our good buddy Bob Sikon joining us in a couple minutes. So we're going to squeeze a little news in here, and then we'll get to his interview.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy, kick us off.
All right. Today surfaced out on the interwebs, if you will. We got a little bit of information about Avatar, which, as we all know, has been pretty much mum's the word. We saw the big blue men and the big blue shovels a year or so ago, and we do know construction is well underway. We've seen the aerial photos, but we haven't really heard or seen anything from any of the Imagineers or Joe Rohde or Cameron or any of that. But today they released some concept art, which to me, I don't know if you've seen the picture, Doug. It kind of just looks like a big mass of greenery and rock. And
know what it reminded me of? You ever see the movie Gator, where they're in the Louisiana bayou? It kind of looks like the bayou to me.
Yeah. It does look weird. I did see the movie Avatar, and you know, I know the big tree is in the center, and I know vegetation plays a big part of it, but I don't particularly remember anything looking like this in the movie, but maybe I just forgot what it looked like.
Well, remember, there's other ones being made, so who knows
Yeah, this could be Avatar 2 or something like that. But anyways, along with the concept art, is a very short YouTube video which shows some of the Imagineers, and the thing that I took from it is they were walking on the ground, and as you walk, it's kind of like a real dark black surface with blue streaks going through it. Mm-hmm. And as you walk, your footprints kind of stay there for a second or two, and then they disappear. So it looked to me like that would be maybe some of the walkways that will be in and around the Avatar section of the Animal Kingdom of Pandora, or whatever it's ultimately going to be called.
All I know is I'm very, very excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of hard to speculate on now, but I know I'm really looking forward to it. Add a little bit more beauty to my lovely Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the fact that they're starting to release the YouTube videos. I mean, if you think back, remember when they were doing Be Our Guest? They used to, you know, occasionally, maybe every month or 6 weeks, they'd put out an Imagineers video. And I think they showed the chandelier, and then they showed the windows, how it was going to be snowing out. So, you know, maybe we're going to start to see some actual, you know, a kind of a peek into what to expect. And it'll get us more excited for the new technology and the new land that's going to be over at Disney's Animal Kingdom in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the beginning of, and I'm so happy that they have the whole YouTube. They're doing it. You know what I mean? They're adding those videos. I love that aspect of it. It keeps us involved as it's going along. Keeps the anticipation going.
Right, they're just a little nuggets. I mean, they even did it with, like, the Mine Train. Remember, they'd release, like, the Jewels, I think one of them. They just showed, like, a pile of Jewels, and, you know,
and the car, remember they released the cars and, you know, showed you how it worked on the back of the pickup truck?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want them to release, I want them to keep a lot of it secret because it'd be nice to just be, totally surprised when it finally opens. But, some nuggets here just to, whet our appetite, if you will, about what's to come.
Absolutely. What do you got next, partner?
Let's see. The next piece of news that I saw is part of the hub over at the Magic Kingdom opened today, which we're recording this, what, on Thursday, the. I'll give the date, even though we probably shouldn't. But yeah, we're recording this on the 26th. So today, where am I here? I lost my
They released
place.
some of the gardens over at the new hub at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be east and west. It basically they opened up the new Main Street Plaza Gardens west at the Magic Kingdom. So that's on the
The Crystal
Crystal
Palace
Palace
side.
side. Correct. And from what I saw, there's several pictures here, many of the sites, and I think the Orlando Sentinel had some pictures too. It's beautiful, and it's a huge area, which I kind of expected it would be. Some of the things, initial thoughts from it that I have, there is FastPass Plus viewing areas, and they actually have the the little bollards there with the Mickey head on it. So it looks like there's going to be certain areas of this where you're going to have to, if you have a FastPass Plus for wishes or whatever, you're going to scan your magic band and they'll let you into this, the plaza. But I think other than that, at other times, it looks like, at least from what I saw, you can freely walk through there and meander in through the new gardens and grasses and benches.
Oh, it
And
looks
it looks,
beautiful.
oh, absolutely.
What I liked
Absolutely.
about it showed families like laying down in the grass, like sitting with each other as a family.
Yeah, and I think that's much needed there. I mean, it'll be interesting,
I'm gonna
though.
miss the water. My duckies need their place to live, but
Right.
hopefully they went over to the Animal Kingdom and all the other ducks were friendly to
Well, maybe they can go over to Epcot and somebody will give them some cilantro or something.
them. Or olives. So
If you listen to this podcast, you'll get that reference later on.
yes, hopefully they get it. If not, you fit right in. If you don't get it, you fit right in with me and Dennis.
There you go.
So, and
Let's
what's
see.
next up, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, I think we might have mentioned this last week's show, but I'll mention it again. Havanias, I don't know how to say that, opens at Disney Springs, The Landing. That's the flip-flop, so I know we covered that. I'll just say in a general sense, and if you want to go to the WDW Main Street Twitter feed, if you scroll back a few, the guide map for the guide maps, I should say, for the 2015 Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival were released yesterday, and we have photos of them, and you can go there and look at those and see what is going to be happening down there starting on March 4th, I believe.
Yeah, through May. So you'll enjoy that. I know you and Bob are going to enjoy that, and that's what we're going to yak with him about.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Again, that's something that I know you and I talked about this, and you've experienced the Flower and Garden Festival many, many times, as have I. A little different spin with the food aspect of it, but the topiaries and all the gardens, and it's kind of the beginning of spring, at least down south. And for us up here in the north, it's if you get down that time of year, it's nice to,
Thaw out.
bit of warm weather and thaw out, exactly.
And what's your last Pete's Pirates?
Yeah, last thing, our pirates are gonna go are gonna be closed for a major refurbish. Yeah, easy for me to say, refurbishment later this
Refurbishment.
year. The closure will begin on May 11th and run through September 25th, and they say it's gonna be open or reopen on the 26th of September. I have no idea what this is all about. I mean, we know they just started shooting the, what is it, the fifth pirate movie or sixth? I don't know which
No,
one it is.
from what I read, Dennis, and this could be not true, but I read it on a couple sites. It's because of the person that got hurt with their hand out of the boat. Supposedly, from what I've read, they haven't been letting people ride in the back boats since that happened, the back seats of the boats.
Yeah, it could be.
Since the new refurbishment with the newer boats, there was a problem with the way the boats came down where you could put your hand on the track. Remember that? I think it was a kid that got hurt, had his hand out of the boat.
Yeah, that did happen. I at least I read that.
And this is what this whole refurbishment is supposed to be about. Rumors are new boats and different design to help stop that from happening again. I guess maybe they're going to have the sides of the boats a little higher so you can't reach down into the water.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, and I don't doubt what you just said. That probably is part of it. But, they're also citing animatronic issues, show audio problems, and continuing issues with boats taking on water are all likely to be addressed during this refurb. So we'll see. It probably has nothing to do with adding any more Jack Sparrow or any of the characters from the upcoming Pirates movies. I think they've been there, done that, and there's enough of that in there, at least in my view. But you never know. Maybe they will change some of the audio animatronics out and buff it up, and it's all good. I guess it's all good unless this happens to fall during your vacation, then it's not all good. But May 11th through September 25th is the slated dates for this refurb.
I would miss it, and that would be possible for me in the fall again, but I would miss it a lot, but I'd be okay because I've been on it many, many times. If they got rid of Johnny Depp, I'd be even happier. That's for your friend Ella. Or that's for our friend Ella now. She's my friend too. She did the show, and she did a wonderful job. It was wonderful having you on, Ella. Now we got to have Bob on. I think I'd rather have Ella on.
I guess we gotta let Bob on. He does know what he's talking about.
Our buddy from All In WDW is getting ready to join us for a nice show. We're going to do Food and Garden with him. That's going to be it for me and Dan. Are you ready to meet Bob again?
Absolutely, let's do it.
All right, buddy. Let's go. Hey, guys, we're joined now by Bob Sicon from All In WDW. We're going to talk about the polls we did last week on Epcot, and then we're also going to talk a little Food and Garden. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
Nice to
Welcome
have you,
back.
buddy. So you want to get into your polls a little bit? Tell us about who the winners were, how everything shaped up.
Sure.
Tell us
No, I
how right we
really.
were.
Well, we did have that little competition, didn't we? I'm going to have to call that file up so I can find out which one of you were the smarter of the two.
It was
But,
definitely Dennis. He went with the chalkies. He went more with the chalkies. I went more with my heart. A lot of times the heart don't win.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a really surprising poll. I mean, one of the things that I loved about the Epcot poll was that it was completely different than the poll for Hollywood Studios and the poll for Animal Kingdom. I mean, both of those polls, we have a three-time winner the 3 years running that we've been doing these. Sort of three-peats on Expedition Everest and Tower of Terror's part.
On both of them.
When
I
it
like both rides, but boo on both of them. I don't think they should have won either park.
Well, when it comes to Epcot, it was other end of the spectrum. This year, we had our third winner in 3 years. 2 years ago, Illuminations took the title. Last year, it was the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. And this year, Soarin' walked away with the prize. And it was a slim two-vote victory, but when you look behind the numbers, it wasn't nearly as close as you think.
Who finished in second, Bob?
Okay, so second place went to Illuminations. Third was Spaceship Earth, and the defending champion, the International Food and Wine Festival, finished in fourth.
Okay.
The interesting thing is, food and wine never really was in it. Last year, they kind of run away with it. But it's also still the defending All-In WDW readers' favorite WDW attraction. I mean, it won the entire parks title last year. It'll be interesting to see how it does when that tournament comes back around sometime in late March, early April.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the reason that it didn't win this year, I think from what I heard from you guys, that you didn't like the food as much this past year as you have in years past. Do you think that has something to do with it?
I think it has a little bit to do with it. One of the things that I do when the
You
festivals
do
come around, do when the festivals come around, is I run polls prior to the festival and give people the opportunity to vote between the different entree options that are going to be offered by the different marketplaces. And one of the things that I realized last year as I ran those polls was that the response was much less than it was the previous year. And I had even reflected to Dennis once or twice when we had chances to meet together down in Orlando, that it just seemed to me that Food and Wine there was a little bit less excitement around Food and Wine than there had been in past years. And it could be that this is a reflection of that. The fans in general have focused more on the everyday attractions as opposed to the seasonal event.
Well, I think it's becoming more comfortable, too, because it's been around so long.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Doug. I think I chalk it up to too much of a good thing. It's just like everything else Disney does, and not just Disney, but other companies, too. Something's popular, or they believe something's popular. It's a moneymaker, so they do more of it. We know in recent years they've extended the length of the festival, put in more booths. But I just think in general, now that Food and Wine has been around for so many years and many, many, many guests have experienced it, I think it's losing some of its novelty. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, every fall they have them food booths out there and people just kind of accept it as or expect it, I should say, where I think in previous years people anticipated and waited and couldn't wait to, you know, summer to be over so fall could get here and they could partake in Food and Wine. And also, you know, I've heard many, many, many people complain, you know, just people I know in the Disney community. They say, I don't even bother going for Food and Wine now. All it is overpriced finger food that you got to wait in line for, you know, 45 minutes to get. I don't agree with that, by the way, but I'm just saying I do hear that more often than not. So I think that it has attributed to some of its, its demise in your poll, Bob, but also just its popularity overall.
I think another evidence to that is what you just said. You know, last year they did add that extra week and they started the festival in mid-September. This year they've gone back to a late September start. It starts on September 25th and runs through November 16th, mid-November, you know, like it usually does. So I think they've taken that week back away. And you know, it's in my mind, it's a little bit of a you know, testimony that maybe it didn't do as well last year as it has in past. And it is showing up that way in the polls.
And then I'll be skeptical in the other way. I don't think it has anything to do with Food and Wine. I think it has to do with some kind of development maybe going over near Maelstrom that they need extra every week they can get to work on something or do something, if you understand what I'm saying, because I'm not even trying to be negative, but what I'm saying is I think it still generates enough money. I just think it's another land right now. It's nothing new. People would go insane if they took it away, but it's like old hat. You understand what I'm saying? And I think it more probably has something to do with something else running a little longer at that time, something to do with construction that they plan on doing. There's something else to do with it that they wouldn't take a week of money away from the park.
That could be it as well. I mean, for me, I agree with you, Dennis. It's whether it's Food and Garden, which we'll talk about in a little bit, or Food and Wine. They're great attractions for Epcot. I mean, for us, maybe count us among the, you know, the foodies that love to make a special trip to Epcot for those festivals. And last year it did better in the polls than it did this year. And in fact, when I looked inside the numbers, like I said, it wasn't even close. It was really never in the running. And frankly, even though Soarin' won the final four-way matchup between Spaceship Earth, Soarin', Illuminations, and Food and Wine only by two votes, in essence, when you looked at the votes for the entire competition, it had a dozen-vote lead over Spaceship Earth. So it was an interesting poll, like I said. I really enjoyed it. The day that we ran the finale, Generally, I can have an idea who's going to win, and I can even write the, you know, the winner's post for the following day, the night that the finale is finishing. But this one, it was almost a three-way dead tie when I went to bed. I knew I was going to have to pound that one out the next morning. So Soren was it. And they're the new all-in WDW readers' favorite Epcot attraction.
And I'm a little surprised by that, too, because I love Soren. But to me, it's starting to get a little long in the tooth. I mean, I'm shocked it didn't win 3 years ago instead of this year. Because the ride is getting the movie's bad. I mean, it's nowhere near as what it was when it started. Do you agree with me, Dan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the quality of the screen, the rip screen, and you're right. It's been played over and over and over again. It is getting old. But I will say, I mean, Soarin' is one of my, you know, in my top three of attractions in all of Disney World. So I'm not surprised it won, but I agree with you, Doug, that it's long in the tooth, no doubt.
Yeah, it's in my top 10. It's not my top three, but it's in my top 10. But I do love the ride, but I can't wait for them to refurb it.
It's barely in my Epcot top 10. I mean, from a standpoint, the Soarin' is, I mean, once you've done it four dozen times, there's just not. Now, my wife's going to kill me because she loves that ride.
So is my wife. And that's one of the reasons why I love it so much, because of the fun I have with her, because she anticipates it so much.
Oh, well, that's great. That's great. I mean, you know, I think the principle behind the ride is great. I think the movie has been there, done that, and the quality, of course, as Dennis just said, just isn't there anymore. So for those reasons, it really falls down my list. If I were to reimagine that ride, I'd do somewhat of what they're rumoring to do, which is kind of a Soarin' over the world type thing. But what I'd also do, and I haven't heard this, is I would kind of mix in an element of the new Star Tours ride where it's Soarin' over the world, but you don't know what the mix of the different things are going to be. Maybe one time you're Soarin' over Orlando, Paris, Rome, and Beijing, and then the next time you're Soarin' over California, New York, Japan, and South America. So, I mean, it would sort of add a nice spice and repeatability to it where you could see people, you know, really anxious to get on it more than they are now today, because you never know what you're going to see.
I agree with that. And the thing, but I would like it to be where it always ends at the Magic Kingdom, like over, I would love to see it end every time flying over Walt Disney World, but I'd like to see maybe it begin at a different place, maybe have four alternative videos or movies where starts at four different locations.
I think that'd be an outstanding idea. I mean, from a sustainability of that attraction, I just think that would really jump it up, jump it up into the stratosphere.
See, I'd go in a different direction. I'd do a Soarin' over Norway, and you'd fly in over Viking ships, and then you'd go off to the right and
see a polar bear.
Bears, then you go through the trolls, and that's what I would do, and make it just an awesome Norwegian attraction.
Oh my God! If I hit the million, the Mega Million this Friday, I'm going to go to Disney World and buy that polar bear and give you two joint custody of it.
Well, I guess that is the one thing that we really haven't talked about. What were your thoughts on my making the entire week of polls at nothing more than a tribute to Maelstrom? I should add. The inaugural member of the newly formed All-In WDW Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go.
I love it.
First Ring of Honor.
We got to get T-shirts made for that.
There you go.
There you go.
Now, you guys, I'm going to get the troll, and me and the troll are going to sit there and laugh at you and the polar bear.
Doug, not to pick at you, but I do have to ask you, you know, to weigh in on one thing. You know, you were very vocal when I was on last week with regard to the American Adventure and the Voices of Liberty being one of your utmost favorites. And I agree with you with the American Adventure. In fact, on my personal top 15, which I did post, you know, a few days back, I do have the American Adventure above Soren and in my top 10. But the American Adventure in the polls finished at 13th, and the Voices of Liberty finished at 14th, just ahead of Grand Fiesta Tour and just behind Turtle Talk.
Well, it's
without getting you too excited, I mean, your reaction to that?
Well, I know who I put my votes in. That's all I could tell you. I had six different names that I voted with, so I tried. I tried my best.
But why do you think that, you know, as good as that attraction is, I mean, I got to be honest with you. If I shy away from it at all, it's because it's a pretty emotional attraction. I mean, especially when you get to the end and they start playing the music. I mean, why do you think it is that it just doesn't beat things like Figment, for crying out loud, or Turtle Talk, or Nemo? What would be your honest appraisal?
My honest opinion is the thing where I think Disney drops the ball there is I don't think they try to get enough people into that attraction. I think a lot of people walk by the attraction, to be honest with you, because when you're in that area, unless you're really looking for it, there's nothing out there. I think they need more of a display, more of a presence from the singers and stuff like that to get people into that pavilion to actually see it. That's my opinion on it.
Doug, I know what they can do. They could have a drum and fife corps out
there.
Oh,
that they
like,
got rid
playing.
Of?
Yeah. Attract people in.
I thought you were going to say they could have off-kilter over there and put them in back, put them in a drum.
No, they're going to be at the new Soaring ride. They're going to be doing background music for the Norwegian Soaring ride attraction.
But do you guys agree with me? They don't really do much to get you in there.
No, I agree, and I was going to joke and say the same thing that Dennis just said. I mean, could you imagine if the Fife and Drum Corps, and maybe they did this and I never noticed it, but led the people into the hall to see the American Adventure? I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a beautiful building. You got the world's best counter service off to the left.
Yeah.
Got that. and you got that big, huge courtyard in front of it. It's not there. I mean, there are signs, but it's not, you know, there's not like a, you know, big, huge, you know,
there's a sandwich. There's like basically a sandwich board out there. It's a white sign that tells you what time the attraction plays. There's nothing really there, though, that tells you exactly what the attraction is. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. And I think part of it is, too, my opinion on this is for the same reason a lot of people don't like Ellen. I know, Bob, you really despise that attraction. But I think one of the issues with it is its length. People nowadays, you know, we all have computers. We got cell phones. We, you know, everything's instantaneous. You have information at your fingertips. Everything's quick. You're in and out. You want to check the weather, whatever it might be. If you want to do the American Adventure, and I do it, and I fully recommend that anyone hearing this does do it. But people generally, not everyone, don't want to take up that much time. They're going to say, oh, I'm not 45 minutes or whatever it is.
And
they don't want to do it.
Yeah, and they're the same people crying, it's so hot. It's so hot. You know, it's like, go in and take a break. Enjoy yourself. I mean, I didn't even bring up Ellen because I didn't want to get Bob fired up last week. But I think Ellen should have been on there over at Grand Fiesta Tour.
Well, but the reason that Ellen wasn't on there is because that attraction did so poorly the year before. I mean, Grand Fiesta Tour took Maelstrom's spot in the initial 16 in round one only because it had received the next most votes when we ran the poll in 2014. So when it really comes down to it, you know, I don't have anything in particular against, you know, the whole concept of a ride where Ellen's energy adventure is. It's just, I'm more of a fan of sprucing things up a bit. I mean, when you take a look at some of what's in the top 10, when I ranked my personal top 15, Turtle Talk was at the bottom, Figment was at the bottom, Nemo is at the bottom. My fans are going to kill me for that one. I mean, you know, the reason that they are is because, it, you know, how many times can you go on that attraction? Now, having said that, a lot of new families come to Walt Disney Yes. World with a lot of kids who haven't been on these things before, and I completely understand that. But if you're a new family and you go to Walt Disney World and you take them on Journey into Imagination with Figment, do you really think that your young one's going to know who Figment is? I mean, you know, Ellen is a very famous person, and Jeopardy is a game show that still airs. I mean, at the end of the day, how many times can you go through that? And you know, the first couple of times I went through and I saw those dinosaur scenes, I mean, talk about building a new attraction around things that had been there before. So, that's the one thing. As much as I loved Maelstrom, I don't mind that they're redoing Maelstrom. I just mind the topic that's replacing Maelstrom.
Yeah, no, I know. I totally agree with that. They could have, you know, refreshed it and kept the same Norway theme and all that stuff. But, it is what it is, and that's not what we're here to talk about.
We're all going to be sitting at the pool in our 80s. I still think Maelstrom should have been there. I really do. I can see you two now, and I'll be like looking at you both. Oh my God, with your Maelstrom T-shirts on.
I have one.
I know you do. So
see, I have to find one.
I bet they're big money now if people are listening to you two. But no, I'm more of a fan. I like the Ellen ride. We do it every trip. But it's just me. I enjoy the back. It's an old faithful to me. It kind of fits in for me like It's a Small World, Pirates. It was one of the first things we did. That Spaceship Earth and Ellen are one of the first things we did when we went to Epcot. So it's more tradition for me, if you follow.
Right. It's nostalgic to you. And,
yeah.
And that's why Bob and I apply the same thing to Maelstrom. I mean,
that too.
Right.
I'm not against it. I'm just picking on you. I'm
right,
going to miss it too.
You're just taking the other side just to be different. But what I'm saying is we all have our favorites, our sentimental favorites that you might remember, like you're saying, Doug, your first time there with your wife or your nephew or whatever. And, you know, even if it is corny and that audio animatronic of Ellen in there is it's brutal. I mean, it's scary to look at. But you remember seeing that, you know, 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 15 years ago, and you'd miss it if it was gone. Should it be replaced? Absolutely. Maybe they need to have a new narrator and get rid of Jeopardy and redo the dinosaur. But, I mean, I think the premise about energy and all that stuff is a good one, and it is educational. But a lot of that technology they talk about is outdated, and, you know, there's been so many advancements that they could, you know, still talk about energy and present it in a new modern, you know, up-to-date way.
My whole stand with Maelstrom is I'm just at a wait and see. I understand I'm upset it's gone, but I just want to see what they do with it before I get on my high horse, because I will complain if I don't like it. Like Everest. Like, Everest is the number one ride in Animal Kingdom. I can't stand the ride. I think the beauty of the mountain is gorgeous. The rest of the ride, just the roller coaster. There's nothing innovative about it. The Yeti don't even work half the time. He don't work at all. I mean, he don't work at all. My point is, it should have been more. Disney, they did a beautiful job on the mountain. The rest of the ride, to me, I don't like it. But that's me. But I want to wait and see on what they do in Maelstrom before I complain.
Yeah, but see, it's not – and again, we got to get off this because we got other things to talk about. But it really has nothing to do – the Frozen attraction is got nothing to do with Maelstrom. It's like they took out an apple and they're putting in a rutabaga. It has nothing whatsoever to do – you know what I mean? To me, why compare whatever this Frozen attraction ends up being to Maelstrom? Because it's going to have zero to do with – It's gonna be about the movie. It's gonna be about the characters. It's gonna be about Honor and Ulster and all that stuff.
You don't think they're gonna show you the whole country of Norway?
I absolutely do not.
Okay, we'll have a gentleman's bet on this that there's still a lot to do with the country of Norway.
It won't, and
if we both go to Disney World together, I will bet you both dinners that it has probably half the ride has to do with Norway.
Right,
where do
Bob.
Have,
right.
Where
do,
where, that, where
we're
do you want,
recording. What yeah. do we have to write down?
Yeah, we don't have to write it. we don't have to write it down because we remember you didn't eat the crab cake either.
Exactly, so, and that's so, why Food so, and Wine didn't win the poll because of the crab cakes they served last year. That's what the problem was.
So Dennis, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Where do you want to have dinner? Because Doug's buying.
Yeah.
We're going to have it. You said, I'll take you to the greatest outside cafe that ever lived over at the American Adventure, you called it. So that's where I'm buying you, Bob. I'm going to buy Dennis over at Le Cellier, but I'm taking you to the American Adventure.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. The only thing that will be a throwback to Maelstrom is, as Disney Imagineers are apt to do, is there will be a troll or there will be a piece of the original attraction that will be hidden somewhere within one of the show scenes, whether it's a troll or the eye of a troll or some sort of piece of memorabilia, if you will, that will harken back to the original Maelstrom. But that whole attraction is going to be solely based on the Frozen. I mean, the kids are going to want to go there. All the young girls that love Anna and Elsa, you think they're going to throw trolls? They're not going to do it.
That ain't my point, but you can have trolls. My point, it's going to still go with the country of Norway. There's going to be somewhere where it explores all the different parts of Norway. That's my point.
But
see, still going
to
be educational about Norway.
You're contradicting yourself in a way, because when we talked about this before, you said Disney wouldn't do that because they're at odds with Norway, because they're not paying the bill and they're not supporting the pavilion.
But they still have to go with the...
Why should Disney promote Norway?
Because it's still in World Showcase. It still has a theme back there. They're not going to turn it into what you call Tomorrowland. Or Fantasyland. They're still going to have a country based attraction, but they're just going to do what they want because now they're paying the bill.
We shall see.
How do we know that they're going to keep calling it Norway?
Well,
when it really comes down to it, one of the things that I've speculated for a long time, you know, if you really think about it, that attraction probably would have been more aptly named Scandinavia. And if they did that, then that would help to divorce the ties from Norway. And since Arendelle is, you know, quote unquote Scandinavia like,
they're not doing anything away from Norway right now. They just spend millions and billions and millions of dollars to create a cruise to have itinerary going to Norway. Now they're not going away from Norway. They're just going to use the country of Norway now to their advantage. They're still going to show you the beauty of it because they also want to show you, as you're there, I guarantee they're going to be talking about the cruise too.
All they saw was a prime piece of real estate with a show building that was large enough, had a large enough footprint that they didn't have to gut reno or even demolish and rebuild, that they could stick a Frozen attraction in. This thing's going to be like Midway Mania, any of those Pixar rides.
Our bet's going to be it'll be more. I bet you it's more to fit in with Epcot than it does to fit in the Fantasyland. It's not going to be over the top.
You mean Frozen?
Yeah, no, Fantasyland. What you're saying is it's going to be more like a kiddie ride, like it would fit more in the Fantasyland
than
it will in Epcot.
Right. Well, we have heard. We do know they took all the boats out, right? We're all in agreement on that. So that whole layout with the – it may not even be a water ride when it's done. I mean, all the boats are out. All the tracks are out. So it's a shell of the building. So they're starting from square one inside. We know.
It's still going to be educational and have something to do with Norway. But let's stop this argument because we're going another hour. We got to do flower and food and garden.
Yeah, but can I, and I don't want to turn this into a long discussion.
Yes, you do.
But I am getting, no, I don't. And I just wanted to comment one thing. Quick question to you guys. Let's make it quick then. All right, you've seen the top four. You've seen how the poll went this past week. I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then I'm going to make a prediction on the next attraction at Epcot that I think will go the way of the dinosaur. So the question is this. Let's look forward a year or two, and now we have a Frozen attraction. Soarin' won, Illuminations was second, Spaceship Earth was third, Food and Wine was fourth. Where does the Frozen attraction fit in? Just quick answer off the cuff.
Number one. It wins whatever year that comes out and it makes it onto your poll, it wins by a landslide. It blows everything out of the water.
I think it's number three. I still think I still think it'll be two or three. I still think Illuminations or one of the old standbys will still beat it because they always do in all the other parks too. Like every year in the polls, Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, they're always at the top of every list. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong, and I'll agree more closely with what you said, Doug. I think it'll be probably in the 3-4 range. And one comment I'll make is the Magic Kingdom poll will be next up in a couple weeks, and you're right. Haunted Mansion and Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, they always do well, but this year will be the first year that the Dwarfs Mine Train will make the poll.
Yeah, and I think that'll be top four too.
Yeah. No, but where I would disagree or where I think your logic is flawed on that, Bob, is that, face it, Snow White came out in, 1932? Is that correct? Does that sound right? Frozen is a current attraction that, you know, hundreds of thousands or I'm going to say millions of young girls and women and people that love that movie. It is going to be way, way, way more popular than Snow White is. And I know Snow White is in the wheelhouse of Disney. I mean, it's one of its bread and butter franchises. But let's face it, kids of today more relate to Anna and Elsa than they do Snow White. So what I'm getting at is I don't think the Mine Train is a good comparison to a Frozen attraction in Epcot, if that's where you were going. It's thinking where it's a new coaster and it's Snow White, you know, you may make the argument that it should do very well or take out Big Thunder or Splash or Haunted Mansion. No, that ain't going to happen because Snow White's an old, old movie. We may love it, and, you know, there are people that still love it, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't have the zing that Frozen has right now. No, not even close.
Can't wait to see it all.
We shall see.
I can't either.
Let's go. Real quick prediction. Attraction that's going to go down, Sum of All Thrills. Got 5 votes the entire competition.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope they take that and they go with Michael Jackson and take that away too. They got to do something with that building over there. That's like, they might as well just put Food and Wine in there.
They should have put Frozen in there. I would have been a lot happier.
I'll tell you what, I wish they would have, because I wouldn't have to hear used to. I'd be a lot happier, to be quite honest with you.
No, but it would have replaced something that most people don't like, and us people that are nostalgic about Maelstrom and the World Showcase would have been happy. It would have been a win-win.
Yeah, well, if Disney wouldn't have bought Star Wars, there'd be Frozen Land in the studios, and you would be very happy. But Star Wars had to be bought, and now that's why Frozen isn't at the studios, and they had to find somewhere for it.
Hey, they haven't announced anything for the studios yet. We could see Arendelle anyway.
No, I don't think so. I think they need way too much real estate for Star Wars, and they also have Pixar Place. I think they need to make both of them.
I agree, but now that you've put it in my head, I think Arendelle could fit in there too. They did say that the park's going to be completely different.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the exciting thing is we know they're doing all this stuff. Let's talk about Avatar Land. Anyway, let's get on with this. As Bob likes to call it, Food and Garden. I prefer to call it Food and Flower. Me and Dennis do, but we'll go with Food and Garden.
Well, all right. So the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, Food and Garden Festival, starts March 4th through May 17th. I think a couple of us are going to have the good fortune to sneak our way in there in that time frame. And finally, this week, they announced the festival menu for the different outdoor kitchens that that they are going to bring back for the third straight year. And I just thought it would be nice to maybe go through the, you know, entree items and maybe just take a couple minutes to, you know, see what catches our eye. There's a couple of things that I'm excited about trying, some not so much, and some that I had last year or the year before or both that I would highly recommend. So, you know, if I don't know where you want to start, but
you pick a marketplace and we'll follow you, Bob. This is your deal.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to start with actually what I think is the crown jewel of the entire festival, and that's the Smokehouse. So at American Adventure, they have the Smokehouse Barbecue and Brews. Can't think of a better thing than an outdoor kitchen that's dedicated to barbecue and beer. But... But they offer some of the best dishes that we've ever had at the festival. In fact, the dish that we, my wife and I, have chosen as the quote-unquote winner of the festival in Food and Garden's first 2 years of existence is a pulled pig slider. If you go to allinwdw.com, you'll see that I've posted my first Food and Garden post of the season, and scroll down, you'll see there's a picture. You would think that a pulled pork topped with some coleslaw and piled on an ordinary bun would be a ho-hum run-of-the-mill type dish, but you got to take my word for it. Whether it's plain, as I have it pictured here, or smothered in barbecue sauce, it's an oversized slider that's just top-notch and out of this world.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think last year I ended up having three of these, not all at the same time, Doug. So I know you were going there. But anyways,
Why am I always in trouble with you?
No, I had three of these, and I think I probably had one when I was with Bob and Mrs. Hall in WDW. But I agree with everything Bob said. What I didn't know about, because I'm a little slow on the trigger sometime, Bob is right. They come on, you know, plain on a big old bun with the coleslaw on top. But if you go over to the condiment bar there, you'll see that they have, I believe it was four different barbecue sauces that came like in a plastic gallon jug with one of those, you know, you push the top of it and it dispenses the barbecue sauce. But you can get anything from, you know, mild, very mild sauce to pretty hot and spicy. So once I found that on my third one, unfortunately, even better. You can kind of kick up the heat if you'd like. But for the price they were, I don't know, Bob, if you remember what it was for that, but I mean, whatever it was, worth every penny. I totally agree.
I think it's $5-6 would be my guess. I don't have that in front of me right now, but I agree with you. I mean, you know, you made a comment earlier today about Food and Wine, and the same would apply to Food and Garden. You know, a lot of people look at it and they say, oh my God, that's so expensive. Well, I mean, what isn't expensive in Disney? If you're going to get a dish that's this big for $5-6,
I hear you, Bob, but I disagree. Me and one of my customers who just went down there, we were discussing it. I really don't think the food is expensive at Disney World, unless you're going to like one of the major steakhouses. I mean, I go to McDonald's and pay $7.99 for a burger and fries. I mean, that's made 7 hours before from some kid that don't care about me, probably don't even have his gloves on, and just came out of the bathroom. you understand what I'm saying? At least this is cooked fresh, nice. You're getting kind of fresh food when you're here. Am I wrong? I mean, don't you guys go to McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and pay $7-8 for a meal?
Mrs. All-NWDW never lets me go to McDonald's.
But
you're going. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, and I like Chick-fil-A, and I like all these restaurants. I'm not saying that, but the point of it is, like Chick-fil-A, I'll go, me, wife, my mother-in-law, and spend $25 for three meals. So I don't find it that expensive to eat at Disney World. It's just that you're eating so much that it adds up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess, Doc, it also depends on how many people are in your party. Like, mm-hmm. If you're solo, it's a great value. Or if there's just two of you, and if you split, like you say that you and your wife do, and I know, Bob, you said you and Mrs. All in WDW often split something. So at least for me, for the festivals, it's more about trying to have the endurance to try many different things instead of eating a whole bunch of the same thing, even as good as it is, if that makes any sense.
Let me stop us from being sued. McDonald's, I was only kidding, and I didn't see that ever happen. So go ahead, Bob.
And McDonald's, I swear, Mrs. All in WDW does let me go to McDonald's.
There you go.
Actually, no, Dennis, you're right. I mean, my wife and I do share most of the items. In fact, one of the things that I do, whether it's Food and Garden or Food and Wine, is I do make a I make a pre-festival menu of the top 15 or top 20 items that we do want to try, and then when I come back from the festival, I'll re-rank that pre-festival top 15 into a combination of the things that tasted the best, was presented the best, and make a final top 15 or top 20, whatever it is. And in order to be able to go through that many items in a couple day trip, obviously we have to share them. I mean, there's a balance between how much you're willing to spend on these items and just surely how much food you can eat. But having said that, when it comes to the pulled pig slider, we get our own.
all right. I know is Porky Pig stays away from this smokehouse. I mean, the pulled pig slider, and then you can have a Pigalicious bacon cupcake.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What did you ever do to the smokehouse?
Well, the Pigalicious bacon cupcake, and Dennis, just wanted to remind you, we talked about it last week, but it is back, Billy's
yes,
Chili's beer.
I saw that.
So we're going to have to get together. We're going to have ourselves a pulled pig slider and a Billy's Chili's beer. And I think you and I need to drink a full-size Billy's Chili's beer.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Now that we've messed around with the beer flight, a couple ounces, 4 ounces, whatever it was, yeah, we're going for the full 12 ounces this time.
I'll tell you what I would love to try, and I am a beer drinker, and I would like to try that with you guys. But something about that frozen lemonade with the Palm Ridge Reserve whiskey, that sounds really, really good to me. And I'm not a whiskey drinker, but just something about that, I bet you it's awesome, especially on a hot day down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a whiskey person either, but I'm sure the way it's mixed with the lemonade and stuff, it's probably quite tasty.
Yeah, something stood out to me about that, and I'm usually not. Whiskey fires me up sometimes, though, so maybe I'm thinking I need to drink it with these two with this Malmstrom stuff. I mean, my tag team.
Yeah,
I need my muscles.
I'm actually surprised here. See, I'm stuck on the entree-type items. For instance, we haven't even gotten to the brisket yet or the smoked sausage, and Doug went right to the dessert and the whiskey.
Absolutely, man. I'm trying to save Porky Pig. No, well, I would probably get the beef brisket if I was there instead of the pork slider. I would like to try the brisket myself.
Yeah, I mean, the way it reads here, it comes burnt ends hash with white cheddar fondue and pickled jalapenos. Mm. So if we get the pickled jalapenos with the the brisket with the burnt ends, and then we get the Billy's Chili beer.
Yeah, your wives better sleep in separate bedrooms.
this is some spicy stuff here, so it is interesting. And then they've tied together with the bacon cupcake, now they got maple bacon stout as a drink offering or a beer offering. So there's a whole bunch of tastes going on here in this outdoor kitchen.
Like I said, this outdoor kitchen is the best one in the entire festival, in our opinion.
Well, more people might like the American Adventure after this. They'll be going in, having whiskey, and watching the show.
They should just make a dotted line right on the pavement, right to the American Adventure's opening. Before we move on, there is a smoked sausage dish as well. That sounds Very interesting. It's replacing, last year they had a what they called a smoked turkey rib, which basically was just a piece of, big piece of turkey wing. Again, can't speak highly enough about the Smokehouse, and that's where I've started publishing today my reports on Food and Garden.
And the good thing. Oh, go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say as an aside, because I remember us having this conversation. We weren't sure when we were there enjoying some of the things you just mentioned at last year's festival. There are brand new bathrooms right to the right where the store used to be that were not there the year before. So those familiar with the American Pavilion there, you used to have to go all the way over to the left way in the back, which those are still there. But there are nice, modern, bathrooms right there kind of behind where the Smokehouse is. So with the picnic tables out there, there's plenty of seating, and it's a very the sun at midday or mid-afternoon is quite strong, but there is some cover there. I think we were able to finagle a picnic table that was somewhat under some shelter. So it is a nice place.
Sounds like you're planning on moving in over here, Dan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Bob said, if we just set up camp there and we have our bathroom, we get the American Adventure there, we can get the funnel cab. I mean, we're good right now. Area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think somebody's not getting the bangers and mash again.
No. And
Dennis, do you remember when we met up for the first time last year?
I'm gonna have to play. I'm gonna have to drop love music in here now.
Yes, I do. I found you, and I remember Mrs. All and WDW being quite amazed. I found you two on a bench right across from the Mexico Pavilion.
But when she took the picture of us together, we were in the American Adventure.
Right.
The Smokehouse. So, I mean, I agree with you. It's a great place to be able to chill. You can get out of the sun a little bit at those park benches. Usually it's pretty easy to find a seat. Our favorite outdoor kitchen.
So you know, to the next one, partner.
Well, one of the things that I really did get surprised by when they did post the menus is that there's a lot of new stuff. For instance, at Urban Farm Eats, which is another one of our favorites, they have actually three different entrees they're going to offer, but two of the three are brand new. And fortunately, the one that's returning, the Ghost Pepper Dusted Tilapia with crisp winter melon slaw and mint oil is phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
Phenomenal.
Because I was going to say, that's what I would go for on the menu here.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, we had that last year, and I have to tell you, I had that in my final top 15. I had that ranked as number 4. I mean, it was not too spicy. The portion of the fish was very generous. The winter melon slaw, which I never even would have been imagined what it was. It was very crisp and enjoyable. It was a really good dish. The other two dishes are a quinoa vegetable nonwich and a kale salad. I got to be honest with you, I'm probably going to pass on those two.
Yeah, kale salad just doesn't sound very appetizing to me. I think for my vegetable, I'll go with the Urban Mary, the spicy tomato juice, lime juice, and Worcestershire sauce with a shot of vodka. Optional. I want it.
Now, is the Crispin Blackberry Pear Cider, is that alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Good. I don't know if it's like a cider, like a beer, you know how they say, you know what I'm saying? Or if it's a regular, just like an apple cider, which is a pear cider, you know, non-alcoholic. You guys got to let me know. That's your recon.
There's Doug going right to the beverages again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys eat the food all up. I don't would use to eat, and I don't have a chance. I got to drink my menu.
Yeah, I know. You just put an idea in my head. I mean, if we get together down there, Dennis, maybe we should do a booth to booth beverage crawl.
Yeah, I'll talk to you off the air. I have some ideas, and that just might work into our plans. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, see, they're leaving me, guys. It's going to be Main Street. I'm going to be Side Street pretty soon. WDW Side Street.
What do you got next, Bob? What's your third most popular? Not most popular, but as far as from your perspective, what outdoor kitchen would you say is a very strong one this year?
Well, it's not an outdoor kitchen, but I got to be honest with you. I typically skip the pineapple promenade unless it's to get
You don't like the spicy hot dog there with the pineapple chutney?
Well, no. I typically skip it unless it's to get some Dole Whip covered with rum. And they are serving that again this year. They're calling it pineapple soft serve, but hey, we all know it's Dole Whip. The spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney. No, I'm actually anxious to try that because at Food and Wine they've been serving this kimchi dog at the
South Korean.
Sounds
a little light, don't it?
It sure does, and let me tell you, it's outstanding.
Yeah, I know it makes it in your top 10 every year.
Yeah, Bob, I seem to remember when we were there last year, you had the pineapple soft serve or the Dole Whip, and I know you got it with the rum, and I believe I remember you saying something to the effect, I don't taste any rum in here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you got shortchanged or you got the wrong serving, but the Dole Whip was good, though, I guess.
Somehow I believe everybody else at Epcot would taste the rum, but Bob doesn't. That's just me. Bob goes, I have rum and then add a little soft serve to it?
No, you got to understand, I had just had the Billy's Chili's beer.
Jeez.
So my taste buds were gone by then.
I mean, there is no way I could have Billy's Chili's beer and then have ice cream. You must have a stomach that's like 20,000 leagues under the sea, iron.
Yeah, but by the time you walk from the American Adventure over to where the which is on the other side of Canada, where this pineapple promenade is, you can work that off and be ready for some ice cream, no problem.
Chili beer with pineapple ice cream. Come on, just throw some chili on it and be done with it. Put some hot peppers on that Dole Whip and be done with it.
You know, but it what you're saying from a serious perspective, Doug. I mean. It isn't like although we said we might do it this year, it isn't like you're pounding down two or three beers worth of the Billy's Chili's and going for the ice cream. I mean, really, you're just
having a taste. You did the flight
last
time. You had the right flight.
Which
I could see that, but not a big one.
Right, exactly. And we all had a sip of it, so we probably each had a mouthful of the beer. So it's not like we pounded three beers and then went and got a 12-ounce Dole Whip. And
that's what I'm saying. I couldn't see that. I mean, I'm thinking you're going to get the big beard and do the Dole Whip. I mean, I'd be sitting on the side like Santa Claus.
Right. No, we're not that hardcore.
No, neither one of us. Hopping back over to Morocco, the Taste of Marrakesh has a falafel pocket with cucumber, tomato salad, and tahini sauce, and a harissa chicken kebab with couscous salad. The chicken kebab, I'm looking forward to having again. That's a repeat item from last year. And it also did pretty well on my final top 15. In fact, it ended up finishing at number 6. I mean, the chicken was very well cooked, perfectly seasoned. It was something I'd highly recommend. And the couscous salad, it's not something I have a lot, but it was excellent.
I'm going to be straight up with you. If I was down there with you,
I
would sneak off the spice road tables, and I get spicy garlic shrimp and watch you eat the kebab.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say to you, Bob. You don't know it yet, but we are going to go to Spice Road Table at some point, and I think you will like, because they have a similar, Doug was just saying, the chicken kebab, and we'll go in there and have some of the offerings, and I think you'll be quite pleased.
Well, Mrs. All and WDW did have the chicken kebabs at Spice Road Table.
Oh, okay.
I did do the recon on that a month or two back. And these chicken kebabs are very similar, not nearly as big as the ones at Spice Road serves, but certainly worth having. It's something that we will try again.
You didn't do the spicy garlic shrimp, did you?
We didn't do the spicy garlic shrimp.
Dennis, how good is that?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, you got to
we'll
go there.
We'll bring some Billy's Chili over from the America, from the smokehouse, and then we'll have the spicy garlic shrimp.
What a mixture.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. So moving on to Japan, the Japanese Outdoor Kitchen is serving two new items this year, a teriyaki curry bun, which I'm interested to see, and salmon sushi, which also I'm interested to see.
I would like to try the salmon sushi.
Not me. You can have mine.
Oh, you got to try it, man.
No. Raw fish is nasty.
No, I'll tell you what, man. I had the tuna and the salmon at in Japan this year.
Yeah.
It was so good. Me and the wife wanted to go back and get a whole new another tray of it. But we already had reservations later. We stopped there just to try the sushi there. When I tell you, it was out of this world. It was incredible.
Now, this is Lotus House you were talking about, Bob?
No, Lotus House is China. So this would be Hanami. And last year they actually had, if I'm not mistaken, they had sort of a trio of sushi over rice. This sounds like it's just going to be a plain salmon sushi. Honestly, I'm looking forward to trying it. I may try to like take a peek at someone else's plate as they walk away from Hanami to see if it's going to be what I expect.
Watch out for the stalker down there, guys.
But when it comes to sushi, I typically prefer tuna sushi to salmon sushi. The teriyaki curry bun, that's going to be interesting. They had a teriyaki chicken bun at Food and Wine last year that I wasn't very impressed with. So this is one that's kind of on the fence for me. I mean, right now I'm saying that, okay, I'll try it, but we'll see if it gets pushed out of my top 15.
Now, at the Lotus House, you used to have to try the Bruce Lee punch.
Listen to him going to the
right
going
to the alcohol.
The again.
Yeah, you got to go try the Bruce Lee punch.
How about the Kung Fu punch?
That's the same thing, isn't it? My Kung Fu is better than your Kung Fu. Did you ever see that? Him with him fighting, what was his face?
David Carradine?
No, the basketball player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. My Kung Fu better than your Kung Fu. Come on, you got to drink the Kung Fu Punch, which we're going to rename it the Bruce Lee Punch. Come on.
Okay.
I think we should call it the WDW Main Street Punch.
I mean,
there you go.
The only thing I can speak to with this outdoor kitchen is for the Beijing-style candied strawberries, because Bob made me eat those last year for research purposes. Remember, Bob?
I remember that. And you kindly did it. You fell on the sword.
Actually, they were pretty good, I got to admit. But essentially, all they are is four strawberries on a skewer dipped in sugar, caramelized sugar or liquefied sugar that hardens to like a candied topping. Quite good. The strawberries were fresh. They were cold. I mean, it was pretty delicious, but not something I would get again. To me, there's other more interesting things to get around the World Showcase Promenade.
But at that Lotus House, Dennis and Bob, I would probably try the candy strawberries too, because then I'm not trying to be smart, but everything else on that menu I can basically get locally here. That's the other thing I'm trying to look for, diversified stuff where I can't get it every day at home.
And that's a fair point. And that's one of the reasons why you enjoy going to these festivals, because and honestly, I often rank something higher in my final rankings because it's a more unique item. Like, for instance, one of the items that always does well at Food and Wine is their Mongolian beef, which is on a steam bun. Lotus House in China has a Kung Pao chicken bun this festival, which is a new item. I'm looking forward to having it. I'm disappointed that they dropped their spring pancake from the menu. That was a phenomenal item that they've had 2 years in the past. Chicken with plum sauce, sriracha, and some vegetables. We've actually made that. We were so impressed by that one, we've actually recreated it at home. The Kung Pao chicken bun is something that we'll try. Hopefully it can live up to the steam bun that Epcot serves at Food and Wine.
Now, over at Florida Fresh, have you guys had the shrimp and stone ground grits?
Oh, the shrimp and stone ground grits are just phenomenal.
I'd wash it down with a watermelon passion fruit slush.
The shrimp and stone ground grits, I ranked that as number four last year. It actually had been in my top three the previous year. The only problem with it I found, and this is just like a nitpicky thing, is they serve the shrimp. Well, hey, you got to be particular. When you get it, they serve the shrimp with the tails on. So you have to take those off yourself. And the dish isn't one where,
Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they do that a lot of times? And I've noticed this because I'm with me eating, like, when they're serving it with a lot of people around, it's more sanitary because they get picked up by that end. You understand what I'm saying? Pull that off, it kind of, they think that they're making it a little more sanitary by leaving that on, believe it or not.
See, and it's a great dish. The flavor of it is outstanding. But when it came down to it last year, I was kind of like weighing the difference between the shrimp and stone ground grits and the Urban Farms ghost pepper dusted tilapia. And when it came to the tilapia, the portion size was bigger, and you didn't have to worry about pulling tails off. So the tilapia had actually pushed past the shrimp into fourth place. But it's definitely worth trying. I mean, when it really comes down to it, the thing I'm excited about is the pulled pig slider, which I ranked at number one. The tilapia I ranked at number four. The shrimp I ranked at number five. The chicken I ranked at number six. All of those are coming back this year. So it'll be interesting to see if they're as good as they were the first time I had them around. First time around.
Yeah. Well, I know me and Brent would be all over if we were there, we'd be all over the tilapia and the shrimp for sure. That's right up our alley.
Can't let you get away with Bob. I want you to speak, please, to the Primavera Kitchen. I know last year, I remember you kind of went on an American Adventure rant about what they did to your dish from that particular outdoor kitchen. No. What are your thoughts on the two new items and the three cheese manicotti that is coming back?
Real quick, picked on the American Adventure here?
I didn't mention any names.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
I don't think anybody picked on the American Adventure. Oh. They just whined and complained a little bit.
I kick, screamed, and yell, man. I don't whine and complain. I yell and scream. Go ahead.
Primavera Kitchen, Italy. Dennis, you're right. I'll tell you, there's two marketplaces, whether it's Food and Wine or Food and Garden, that I've just got an axe to grind with for some reason. It's Germany and Italy, sad to say. Germany, this is the second straight year that they don't have a outdoor kitchen in the Food and Garden Festival. I guess, but they still keep coming back to Food and Wine. And then Primavera Kitchen here in Italy. And Dennis, I believe you had the same experience I did. They're three cheese manicotti, basically a pasta stuffed with ricotta, mozzarella, parmesan, with a little bit of tomato sauce and bechamel.
Yep.
It tasted like they had just pulled it out of an oven that it had been sitting in for 4 hours. I mean, it just wasn't a good presentation, wasn't a good taste. When you couple that and the fact that it's back this year and was so bad last year, it'll definitely not be on my list. And honestly, the fact that they changed my ravioli recipe last year at Food and Wine from the phenomenal recipe they had in 2013 and 14, Italy, I'm sorry, you are off my menu.
Wow. That's saying a lot because, Italy, you got high marks. I mean, it's still very popular, but I agree. The three cheese manicotti last year, it was, to me, it was bland, and you're right. It just didn't scream of freshness, and it was kind of tasteless, to be honest with you. It really wasn't anything special. I was disappointed with it, so... Go ahead, Doug.
No, I'm just asking you guys, because you would know more than me, not to make excuses for them, but don't you think it's kind of hard to keep the pasta fresh if it's not moving? Like, don't you think it's like a hard thing to juggle with pasta like that? Because I found it when we're cooking and stuff like that, and don't you find pasta a hard thing, though, to kind of keep it where it's fresh all day long?
Oh, absolutely, but the thing that was scary about this, Doug, was – My wife and I were actually there right as the festival opened at 11 a.m. So, I mean, this would, I don't know if this was left over from the night before.
Or they might have started cooking it at like 9 and maybe it was overcooked. I don't know. I'm not trying to make excuses for Italy because I don't mind. I'm not Italian. I don't pick on Italians, but I'm not offended by it. But I just don't think that I think it's kind of one of the hardest to make fresh all the time. I think maybe they should change their menu a little bit.
Well, you know, I think that's the whole point. I mean, obviously, they have 10 months to get this stuff right. And mm-hmm. I know they experiment and they try different things. And that's a good point, Doug. Some things are more suited for this type of servery or serving, if you will, you know, kind of being cooked backstage or in a building and then brought out on hot plates. And I would also say, although I know I had this a couple of times, if not last year, I had it the year before, and the year before that, actually, you know, I never fully write off a dish or a meal at Food and Wine or Food and Garden until I've tried it at least a couple of times, unless it's something I just literally don't like. But I mean, if it's something that I generally like, you might get a bad batch, or you might get the end of a, you know, the end of the tray, or you know, it got a little cold and a fresh one didn't come out. So I mean, I get it. They're serving, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and to think everything is going to be cooked to perfection and be at the exact temperature you want is a lot to ask.
Yeah. Because one of the greatest things, like we talked about, like with Riverside, I mean, I'm not even bringing it up like it's one of the greatest restaurants ever, but one of the things we talked about is when you order your pasta meal, they're dropping the pasta right as you're ordering it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things about going out to Tutto Italia or a great Italian restaurant. So I'm not saying it's the greatest ever, but you know, your son cooks. He's in New York City. You go to a good Italian restaurant, the thing of it is it's getting fresh made and dropped when you order it. It's not sitting – pasta's not good sitting around for 2 hours.
Right. And but all I would say is, I mean, they got some very talented chefs and food people down there. And, you know, if they're offering something at one of their outdoor kitchens that doesn't take well to, you know, sitting out or being at a kiosk for a certain amount of time, then
they got to change it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to come up with a logical reason why it does that. And I think that's one of the things that just. Pasta, like you were saying, Dennis, certain things just don't sit well outside.
No, and Dennis is right as well. I mean, you could have it one time, go back 2 days later and have it again to give it a second chance, and it's phenomenal. Last year at this particular festival, one of the items that fell into that category were these smoked turkey, quote-unquote, ribs that they had. Very first time that Mrs. All in WDW and I had it, they gave us one rib in the little container. The second time we went back, they gave us two.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know whether it was always meant to be two, and some chef came in and said, hey, what are you guys doing? You're supposed to be given two of these. But one was a very small, it wasn't a very expensive item, but one was a really small portion. I mean, we're talking about part of a turkey wing, really, and two of them, was about just about right because it was perfect for sharing. So, different items, they might tweak them and rework them. I remember actually, and I believe it was at Food and Garden in the very first year, 2 years ago, that we got the opportunity to see the head chef from Epcot, Jens. He came by, and we were standing there having some of the pulled pig slider, which I might add, I had completely changed his recipe and had him serve the coleslaw on the side so I could slather it with barbecue sauce. But he came up to us and asked us how we were enjoying the festival, and he said, "What things did you not like?" And we had had a cheddar biscuit that had a smoked salmon spread on it over by the United Kingdom, and it was the biscuit was very salty, and we told him that. When we came back about a month later for our second tour of the festival, we tried it again. It was spot on perfect. So I think they listen to the guests' feedback, and then even as the festival's going on, they tweak things around.
Well, the last one of the other pavilions I wanted to talk about is, have you guys at the Mexican Pavilion had the Mexican chocolate custard?
No, have not. And
this
time,
really good.
Yeah, this time we may try it because I can tell you that I was not very impressed with their corn tortilla with the marinated pork. I like the marinated pork, not a real big fan of corn tortillas.
Me neither. And there's something about, I don't know what it is. Do you guys not like the aftertaste of a corn tortilla? It's kind of like drinking diet soda to me.
That's exactly what it is.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I don't mind them. Not my most favorite thing, but I
prefer
can,
a flour tortilla over a corn.
100%, me too. I just there's something about the taste of a corn tortilla that I just don't like. And if the vegetarian quesadilla is the same as last year, it's going to be littered with mushrooms, and that's not my favorite thing.
Yeah, there's, and it's also because like we made, I actually made tacos tonight at home, and I prefer the wheat. We use the wheat all the time. The wheat. Tacos. Have you ever eaten them?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I have.
Yeah, the wheat wraps. They're awesome. That's what we prefer to use. But I would probably, how would you, you've never tried the marinated, do you like the pork on the marinated pork taco?
No, the pork was good. Like I said, it was just the corn tortilla that I didn't fancy. And at the end of the day, you know, I did try it. I did, you know, it did hit my rankings, but there were just so many other things I liked more. I think it was number 8 out of the 15. And okay. What I said last year was it was a disappointment only because of the corn tortilla.
Yeah, I just wish they would give you an option on that.
Yeah, because a lot of people do like the soft instead of the corn tortilla there, but I wouldn't get it. I'll say right now, and I know I went on this rant before, I see that word cilantro.
Oh,
I don't care what it's on. If I smell, see, taste cilantro, I'm throwing it in the lagoon.
Yeah.
I cannot stand cilantro.
Man, you just got like a bad reputation. You got a bad attitude when it comes to cilantro.
Yeah, Dennis, don't be ruining the World Showcase Lagoon. Take it back. You're being like the guy who throws gum on the ground. You're going to throw it in the trash.
Your ducks can eat the cilantro.
Okay, but don't start that. Now you're going to have everybody. It's going to be like the Boston Tea Party with cilantro in the World Showcase Lagoon.
It deserves to be in the harbor.
No, it don't. Just don't eat it. But no, I don't like cilantro either. Me and the wife aren't fans of that either. I think cooks make themselves have an acquired taste for it.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it seems like just lately or more recently or however you want to say it, that cilantro is becoming more and more commonplace in a lot of recipes, and I just can't stand it.
Do you like it, Bob?
You know, I tried to cook with cilantro once, and honestly, I didn't. Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's like a skunk in the food world. Like, you can't get rid of it.
I clearly used too much when I used it, so I learned that lesson really quickly, and honestly, I haven't cooked with it since.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't know. Do you guys, does your son like cilantro, Dan?
Nah, not really. He'll use it sparingly because it is a very strong herb, I guess, or whatever it is. But I just substitute parsley or something if I see cilantro in a recipe.
I honestly want to meet the person that likes it that isn't a chef. I mean, I don't know anybody in my life that likes cilantro.
Right. Yeah, and you see it pop up more and more and more. I mean, I just glanced down. I'm looking at the menu. Florida fresh, shrimp and stone ground grits with andouille sausage, sweet corn tomatoes, and cilantro.
It's kind of like caviar. Do you guys like caviar?
But you know what? The cilantro in that dish is very, very subtle, Dennis. I don't know if you've tried it or not, but you get more from the grits and the spiciness of the sauce that comes with the shrimp than you do cilantro taste.
I mean, he's even worse than me. At least I'll try the olives. I'll try them, man.
No, I just, you know, Bob, and now that I think of it, I think I may have had that last year, the shrimp and stone ground grits. So if I did, I guess I ate cilantro, and I'm a hypocrite. But I guess it's so, you know, it's mixed in with all the other spices, or it's in there sparingly that I didn't really notice it.
It's very, very subtle. Yeah.
Cilantro is the dentist what garlic is to a vampire. Just chase him with cilantro.
Dennis, this has been an exciting show. You just called Dennis a vampire. And earlier tonight, Dennis called Elsa and Anna rutabagas.
And you keep saying doo-doo.
Wow.
So, but we're going to wrap it up, Bob. It was a great time talking to you about food and wine. Is there anything else you want to throw out there? Or not food and wine, food and garden. I apologize.
That's okay. Food and garden. Just to, you know, ask anybody or tell anybody that if you're interested in hearing any more about food and garden, you know, follow my little saga over the next couple of weeks as I build my pre-festival top 15. Just visit allinwdw.com. You know, hopefully you get an opportunity sometime between March 4th and May 17th to sneak into Orlando and be able to enjoy the festival, especially if you don't get an opportunity to go in the fall to visit Food and Wine. It's maybe call it Food and Wine Light, so to speak. But when it really comes down to it, it's a great draw. It's enjoyable. You got the topiaries, you got the food. It's a great atmosphere.
Well, I'm putting it out there. You guys either got to do, if the Kung Fu Punch is alcoholic, you've got to try that. If not, you've both got to try the frozen lemonade with the Palm Ridge Reserve whiskey in it for me.
Okay,
and
you better
review on that.
You better remember that, Dennis. And in fact, what we should do is we should have Mrs. All in WDW or one of the Mrs. Main Streets, the one that travels with you, film us. And you can do a video shot of us drinking the aforementioned drinks after you have bangers and mash.
Yes. So it's the bangers and mash, the garlic shrimp, the Kung Fu, the Bruce Lee punch, and the frozen lemonade with the Palm Ridge Reserve whiskey. They're the four you got to do this trip.
I was just looking at one other thing here, and I know you're getting out of here, Doug. What is this at the? It looks like the France Pavilion Grown Up Ice Pop. Did you guys see these things? A Grown Up Ice Pop debuts at the Fleur de Lys Outdoor Kitchen in the France Pavilion. They're like lollipops, like almost like a Jello shot, only they're frozen, and it's got Grand Marnier in it. That looks pretty good.
Or Grand Marnier, if you, as
Whatever.
We like to call it, in the bartending area.
I'll have to admit, I like to have my vodka in liquid form.
Yeah, well, I bet it would be good, though, Dan.
Where do you see a picture? It comes like in a plastic. You know the old, what did they call them? Push-up pops there, whatever they call them. They push them up from the bottom. That's
the bomb pops.
Yeah, but it's plastic, and it pushes the frozen liquid / slushy up through. And
you've got to try that Grand Marnier for me, Dan.
All right, I'll do that. I'd rather try that than the Kung Fu Punch or whatever the heck.
You just added a third to your trip. That's all.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
I see how it works.
What you got to do is dip the Grand Marnier into the Kung Fu Punch.
Doug, I'll make you a wager.
Yes, dear.
I bet he never tries the bangers and mash.
If he doesn't, I'm going to be driving to Boston, and Matt Bangers, which is me, is going to kick Mash's butt.
Well, if I don't, you can blame Bob, because he's going to be sitting about 18 inches away from me, so it'll be his fault.
Yeah, you want to know something? I'll take care of him on the way to Florida, because I have to pass both his houses, so I'll find him at one of them.
You should come down and visit me anytime.
I want to. One of these days will happen. Sooner than later, so you've been forewarned. All right, guys, it's been a blast. It's great to have you on again, Bob. Everybody stop by Bob and check him out at AllInWDW. Check out his website. You can go to our website. There's a link to his, or just go straight to his. And we have a wonderful time, and we'll talk to both of you guys when you get back from Food and Garden.
Thank you guys again. I really appreciate you having me on again. It's, you know, been a great Epcot night, an epic Epcot night, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Bob, with all the kidding around, I do mean it. We really enjoy having you on. Your expertise in food and wine and drink and all that stuff is greatly appreciated by us and our listeners.
And speaking of Epcot, fishing at Epcot, make sure you guys go. We had our friend Mike Iaconelli on a couple weeks ago, and he fished at the Epcot World Showcase Lagoon. Go over and check out his website and check out the Ike Foundation and help out the kids. Send them all fishing. Good, Bob, finish up.
No, that's it. Thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it. Everybody, come to All In WDW. Read about the food and garden and go to Epcot. Try it for yourself.
Later, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.